City Current. Produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or tune in to Radio Access 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to a Bismarck edition of City Current. It's Wednesday, June 26th, and we're here in the studios at Dakota Media Access. I'm Mary Van Sickle, and I'm here with Jason Tomonic.
Hi, Mary. How are you today?
Pretty darn good. It's summer,
great.
Finally.
It is.
And we're enjoying that, yes. As always, we're here to talk about the action of the City Commission meeting last night. Mm-hmm. Not too long, but a few pieces of business were taken care of.
Yeah, it was a good agenda.
Yeah.
A little variety.
And we were on the agenda two times, Dakota mm-hmm. Media Access, so we were honored to be there. And one of the things that we were included in is the consent agenda. Mm-hmm. And these are normal kind of activities. There are a number of boards and commissions that the City of Bismarck or the Commission appoints members to, and one of them is our Board of Directors.
That's right.
So we finalized that for us last night. Dave Dybel from DNN Cinematics is mm-hmm. a new board member for us.
Welcome, Dave.
Yeah, he's a great guy. And two board members renewed their terms, mm-hmm. Tana Kincaid from the Bismarck Public Schools and Greg Wheeler from Basin Electric. Mm-hmm. So we're happy to have them back on board, too.
Yes, it's nice to know. And it's nice to recognize these people because they're volunteering their time.
Exactly.
They're supporting this activity, this organization,
right.
and all things throughout the community. So thanks to them for their willingness to help out. And no questions from the commissioners. It's more of a routine process, but certainly part of the formalization of recognizing their positions on the boards. Because they
right.
have terms and they yep. have to sign an oath of office and
that's
all
right.
of that. So we're glad that they're willing to help out and glad that there weren't any issues or concerns
nope.
last night. So.
Nope. We vet our board pretty well.
Good
I think
for you.
We you know we look pretty deep into the community mm-hmm. for the talents of people that we can use and have a good diverse board mm-hmm. and with different things that they can bring to the table. So
yeah,
to speak.
I think it's important that they have an interest in what you're doing as well because
yeah.
that just helps raise the level of what you're doing here.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah. We were also included in the regular agenda, one of the first items, and mm-hmm. that was a discussion about the call for projects.
Right.
This is in connection to your strategic plan. And a week ago, there was a special commission meeting where those call for mm-hmm. projects were presented by each entity. And we were one of the mm-hmm. groups that did present. So talk a little bit about the projects that you got.
So we heard from 10 different groups. Throughout the community, and I think it was very, very encouraging to hear some of the projects. First of all, there were some very community-minded projects. Commissioner Oban noted that most of the projects were very selfless. They were for other groups or other organizations in the community. We saw a variety of things touching on, in no particular order, homelessness, mental health, behavioral health. Of course, that's been a topic that we've been talking about for the past few years. United Way had a proposal that involved some funding from the city to help support their activities on South 12th, where they'll be moving. Our own public health, Renee Mock, public health director, through the Gold Star Community Task Force, now known as the Burley-Morton Behavioral Health Coalition, had a recommendation on similar ideas and similar concepts for the behavioral health, mental health, homelessness issues. But then we also saw some projects tied to the river. We saw a project come forward where they suggested that both sides of the river, Mandan, Morton, Burley, Bismarck, both park districts, do a comprehensive study of what should the riverfront really look like. That's an interesting proposal. That one's mm-hmm. going to need a little more time to really work through the details because we as the city can't just jump forward and say, we're going to do this. We need to make sure that we've got all the right partners in place
right.
on both sides of the river.
And ideally, I would assume it would bring in a consultant to
help guide the study. Right.
It would be a big project.
Right. And we'd be looking at what is the appropriate land use on both sides of the river with all the information that we have
right.
available.
I think there have been attempts in the past. Burley County went through something a few years ago.
Right.
As well.
They did some riverfront regulations mm-hmm. for development. And there was a study that was done back in the mid 80s that looked at the river corridor as well. But
okay.
it's time to, a lot has changed since the 1980s. And,
sure.
And I think we owe it to the community on both sides to take a good hard look at really what is the best use of our riverfront.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the other projects we saw There was one that came forward from an organization called Dakota Cares, and that one was really a touching project because they were shining a light on an issue that some of the commissioners admitted weren't even aware of, and it's loneliness, mm-hmm. Not just for older
right.
community members, but also young people
sure.
that are moving here. We always talk about talent attraction and employee retention and getting people to move to Bismarck. Well, part of helping them assimilate and get comfortable is recognizing that, hey, maybe they're not sure who to talk to or,
right.
or who their friends could be. So
right.
Dakota Cares was looking at a way to try and blend the older generations with the younger generations mm-hmm. in the spirit of community and mm-hmm. not looking for any funding from the city, but just looking for an overall recognition of this is the project we'd like to do, and we would really benefit from your endorsement and your
right.
support. So
and some outreach assistance.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's a great one for us to mm-hmm. help share in the communications. And one of the things that the strategic plan project team talked about a lot was facilitating conversations and facilitating incubating, supporting.
Well,
this is right in that wheelhouse.
And as an example of what you just said, I spoke with the woman who presented Dakota mm-hmm. Cares after the meeting, and I said this would be a really interesting project to bring to our facility.
Certainly.
And bring some, you know, people who might be interested in film study or mm-hmm. just watching films, a film club, whatever mm-hmm. it might be, or just interest in making media.
Mm-hmm.
We have training that we provide here if they were interested in doing a radio program or a television program or just a video project of some sort in the mm-hmm. community, where you'd have that collaboration between the ages of people who have, you know, maybe aren't interested in going into more typical things or looking mm-hmm. for a connection, that we could provide that connection. Okay. So again, as an example of what you've been trying to do is facilitate discussion. Mm-hmm. She was very interested in that. And I said, you know, and obviously that kind of ties into to our building.
Certainly.
And our need. And,
mm-hmm.
and one of the things that we've discovered over the years that this building doesn't really satisfy what mm-hmm. we can do in the community. And that's just an example of one small thing.
Right.
So, or a large thing, depending upon how it would go. But so that was part of our project. Sorry mm-hmm. to interject into your...
No, it was perfect timing.
Yeah, it's
good.
You know, so, and the commission supported us to the level of saying, yes, we agree mm-hmm. that you need to start looking, come back with a plan and
right.
and let us know what you need, and then we'll have that discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there were a couple other ones. There was a river festival, which
right.
definitely would tie in with a river study, would help determine
absolutely.
How that works.
Yeah, and that one was motivated primarily to support and raise awareness for pediatric cancer. The gentleman that was proposing the idea spoke about his granddaughter, who at age one had a tumor and had it removed, and now she's living a very wonderful life. And he indicated that he had pledged his time to support other families that went through or are going through similar situations. So the idea there was to utilize some of the existing resources within the parks, but really invite youth throughout the state to come to Sertoma Park and show off their talents, whether it be through music or play production or whatever the case may be. So that one, they've got some work to do. Again, no ask financially from the city, but if we can help facilitate some of those connections and those conversations, I think that would be a tremendous project for our community.
Sure.
I mean, that is a very selfless idea that brings people throughout the state to Bismarck. And then we're talking about tourism, we're talking about visitors. Those all have wonderful impacts for the capital city.
And the gentleman that brought this project forward spoke about the new heritage landing that's mm-hmm. being built, and he'd spoken with Aaron Barth, who's the executive director of that organization, and they had expressed interest they like the idea too. So
mm-hmm.
now it's kind of going back and kind of seeing what they can do to
right.
gather up some of these groups to come together with some plans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was a great discussion. It was really fun to see those projects come forward. And then the commission directed staff on how to move some of those forward.
Mm-hmm.
So those that do have a potential budgetary impact for 2020, those will be reviewed by the budget committee, and that'll start in the next couple of weeks as we get ramped up with that. Those that do not have a fiscal ask or a financial piece to it, staff resources, time, whatever the case may be, if we can help move some of those projects forward, I think we're going to do what we can
sure.
to help everybody be successful. So overall, I would call the call for projects, it was a great opportunity. It was a really good success for us. It was a fun project because we hadn't done anything like this before. And I think it stimulated a lot of conversation in the community. And we will do this again. This won't be the only one. We will likely do this at least once a year.
Okay.
So.
And some of the projects were directed towards the Intergovernmental Affairs Committee, right?
Right. Yeah. So that's the four political subdivisions, the parks, the schools, the county, and the city. And we knew that that would happen. We knew that there would be projects that we couldn't take care of all by ourselves. But if we can raise awareness for the other organizations out there and help direct some of those folks to those people, great. Sure. We feel that we're helping. And it's all in the spirit of making Bismarck an even better place than it is today.
Right.
It's all about livability and community pride, quite frankly.
So the projects now have some direction back to them of where to go. And then the strategic plan, which is what
was the impetus for everything, exactly.
Made a final presentation or, to the commission last night, and action was taken. And your consultant, J.D. Gray, now will be done with the community for a while anyway.
Right.
And so where does that leave you? You're kind of the main guy here with the strategic plan.
I've been the project manager, for lack of a better term. But for us now, we are going to retool the project team just a little bit. We'll broaden it into each department. Each of the 14 city departments will have a rep on the project team because each department has pieces of the strategic plan that they can help implement and they can help use as the driver for their goals for the next 3 to 5 years. So we'll keep it internal with staff, but we'll definitely make sure that we report back at least quarterly on our on our activities and our successes. Part of the software that comes with the strategic plan will help us monitor, track, implement. So we'll want to make sure that the commission sees all of that data as we get moving on some of these projects. So the first phase of the project is complete, but now really becomes the most important part, and that's the implementation side of it. So we're looking forward to this, and this will give us a tremendous amount of mileage over the next 3 to 5 years, but it'll also help us really broaden our vision towards the next 20 years. So it's exciting. It's great. This is the second time we've done a strategic plan. For an organization of our size, it's imperative. We need to have direction and focus, especially as the commission continues to change, potentially every 2 years. It's good to have kind of a singular goal set in mind for those new faces that do show up, and they can help understand some of the decision-making processes that we go through.
And you'll be coming back with a periodic reports then?
Absolutely. Yeah, at least quarterly.
Okay.
At least quarterly, we'll make sure to get in front of the commissioners and let them know. And, of course, having Commissioner Oban and Commissioner Zenker as the co-liaisons, they're going to certainly be a part of all of these discussions as we go forward because they really give us the support that we need to make sure that all this stuff gets done the right way.
All right. Another study or plan that was put together, and it's been quite a long time in the making, was the through the Metropolitan Planning Organization, it was the Highway 83 Alternative Study came forward last night as a final presentation, and it was accepted by the commission. I was a little surprised, but I have been watching the progress so far, but I was somewhat surprised because Highway 83 Alternative Study, I thought the main goal was to find those alternative routes to take some of the traffic off I-94 coming into the community from the east and get it up to 83 by bypassing the State Street area. But that's not really how it turned out, although they did identify three options for that.
Yep, they looked at alternatives and primarily east of Bismarck. And really what the intent was is to, as you said, intercept some of that traffic and get it to avoid Bismarck, so to speak. I think it was determined that those routes, although they could work, there isn't really enough of an attractant to pull vehicles off of I-94. Either it's not any shorter, it's not as convenient, it might not be the most direct route for some. So the impacts weren't as robust or as impactful as they had hoped. So then they switched the study to also look at improvements in the urban corridor. What can be done with State Street, particularly 43rd Avenue, 71st Avenue, they're looking at potential interchanges in those areas to help monitor or not monitor, but control some of the traffic and make sure it's all about safety is really what it is. In the end, though, the study shows us that State Street, as we all know, is a busy corridor and it's going to continue to be a busy corridor. But we've also planned the land uses around that to reflect that. When you look at the retail stores, part of the reason they're there is because of the traffic.
Sure.
So you know, it's kind of a delicate balance between, are we really trying to move traffic quickly through the corridor? Are we just trying to move a lot of vehicles through the corridor? So safety improvements, safety recommendations, we're looking at a 30 to 35 year horizon on this study. So we won't see immediate changes, but we do know that there are some ideas to help things get better down the road.
Yeah, it's a very comprehensive study. Mm-hmm. It had, again, improvements up through Straight Street from interstate all the way up. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty detailed. Lots of great graphs and diagrams, mm-hmm. and whatnot. And that study is available online.
Yes,
so
it is.
If people want to go take a look at that, they should, because mm-hmm. This will impact. This is going to serve as a bit of a master plan,
you
will, for transportation up that too. So mm-hmm. I believe the address is, I have it written down, HWY83ALTstudy.com.
There you go.
So if people would want to go check that out, they should, because it's just good information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it is fair to mention that all the Metropolitan Planning Organization studies that they've conducted over the years are on their section of our website as well. So it would be posted there too. Mm-hmm. The project website will have more information, because it'll talk through the process of what they did, some of the work that was conducted during the study.
It does, and it actually has videos, recordings of the public input meetings that were conducted. Mm-hmm. So there were a lot of people involved in this. They don't do it in a vacuum.
Right.
So there's a lot of public input on this. And the decision last night by the commission was to accept the study. Mm-hmm. That doesn't necessarily mean everything's going to move forward quickly.
They didn't say
this is
implement.
Very long-term
right.
stuff.
And this would involve the county and, of course, the North Dakota Department of Transportation if we're looking at some of those alternative
right.
routes.
And as you mentioned, one of the concerns of State Street is 43rd Avenue, and mm-hmm. that's already moving forward in some way or fashion. I don't think the final design work is done, but I know you had a public input meeting just a week or two ago.
Right. There were over 100 people that attended that meeting. It was up at the offices of KLJ, and there were three options for what 43rd Avenue mm-hmm. could look like. So that'll definitely be part of the conversations going forward, and it needs to be mentioned too that would be an area that we would be looking at using the new half-cent sales tax collections to help with some of
Absolutely.
Those improvements.
Yeah.
So changes will be coming for 43rd Avenue. We know it's a congested area, and as that commercial and retail offering continues to develop, it's going to get worse.
State Street is congested. There's no doubt. And right now, just caution people that from 8 a.m. in the morning till mm-hmm. 1 p.m. every afternoon, we're down to one lane in the I-94 area mm-hmm. of the off-ramps. So mm-hmm. If you can find an alternative route, that's probably a good idea in the morning.
Leave earlier if you can. Be patient. We've got people out there that are working, and they have families they want to go home to as well. So give them the room they need, and be patient. Wherever your destination is, it'll be there when you get there.
A report that was accepted by the commission last night is an annual report. It's an audit that mm-hmm. is done for the city every year. You have to do it. State regulations, federal regulations, mm-hmm. got to do an audit.
Yep.
And you have a contract with Ide Bailey
right.
as the independent organization who does the audit. So this is a five-year contract you have with Ide mm-hmm. Bailey, and this is their report last night.
Annual report. And what we learned is that everything is good, mm-hmm. Which is what you want to hear in
Absolutely,
an audit. You don't want to hear that, something was wrong or there was a misstep somewhere.
It's a large undertaking to go through an audit, especially one of this complications with all the departments and the different funds that feed through there.
Yeah. So it's a testament to our staff and our finance department that they do a tremendous job. And of course, much of that was under the direction of our recently retired finance director, Sheila Hillman.
Yeah.
So the new guy, Dmitry Cherniak, was there to provide the report, but now it will be his team, and he recognizes the value of the staff that he has in that department. He's got some people that have been with the city for 30 plus years, and they've got a tremendous amount of experience, and it shows mm-hmm. when you see a report like this that, as they call it, it's a clean audit or a clean report, and that's great. So the message to us is continue to do what we've been doing, because it's working very well. Of course, if there was a blemish or an issue that was brought through the audit, we would address that as needed.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And as we talk about with all the studies and that happen that are online, so is the audit.
Mm-hmm.
The audit is there, and it's deep. It's a big report.
It's a healthy document.
And that is on the city website
you
as
bet
well.
It is.
BismarckND.gov.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Go there. Go to the finance department. You can find all those documents.
That's where it would be.
Mm-hmm. And I always kind of find it interesting when I hear people talking, whether it's on other radio interviews or whatnot, and there's somewhat they're talking about why they don't know where money is with mm-hmm. the city and where did this go and whatnot. And I know I'm getting off script here a little bit, but it is a little frustrating sometimes because I know where it is. Mm-hmm. If you want the information, it's
yeah.
there.
Yeah, we're not trying to hide anything.
If you want to know where the money went and where it goes and how it comes in, mm-hmm. it's all in those finance documents.
Yep.
They're all published. And if that doesn't satisfy, I'm sure your new finance director, as your old finance, I don't want to call her an old finance director.
Former
finance director has an open door.
Absolutely.
Call and go in and talk to them and find mm-hmm. out what, you know, ask your questions and they'll let you know where, yeah. you know, what's going yeah. on.
And so, they'd be happy to do that yeah. at any point.
Yeah.
So.
So audit is an annual thing that the city has mm-hmm. to go through. Commission accepted the audit last night because it was clean and moving on. So mm-hmm. a year from now, we'll probably have this
same
conversation.
We'll talk about it again. Yeah.
Another thing that's come back onto the agenda is the Silver Ranch zoning change. It was introduced at your last meeting last mm-hmm. night was the public hearing.
That's right.
No testimony. Didn't hear anything. Very little discussion. But this is a large development up in the northeast quadrant of the city.
Right. And there was some testimony at the Planning and Zoning Commission.
There was.
Which
yes.
is more common that we see testimony at that point. But we're talking about really the most northern and eastern extent of the city of Bismarck. And this is an area, as you work your way off of 43rd Avenue south into the development, the request was to change the zoning from single-family homes to now single and two-family homes. So in the zoning world, it went from R5 residential mm-hmm. to R10 residential. Mm-hmm. And the biggest difference there is that twin homes are allowed in the R10 district, and the lot sizes are a little bit smaller, as you could expect with a duplex or a twin home.
Yeah.
There was some concern from the neighbors at the Planning and Zoning Commission, particularly to the west. There's some established rural residential homes that are there. So they're single family on a larger lot. And they were concerned that the twin homes would be too much of an abrupt transition between their rural residential dwellings and the single and two family homes that could show up along, I believe it's Silver Way is the road that leads into there.
Yeah, Lloyd's got a map up for us, and the area on the map, if you're watching, has the diagonal stripe. The bold diagonal striped area is the area that mm-hmm. went through a zoning change last night. This mm-hmm. is different than the originally suggested.
Right. This is just a small portion of Silver Ranch. And it is adjacent to other existing R10 zoning. So we've got other parts of the neighborhood closer to 43rd Avenue that will be a mix of single and two family homes. Mm-hmm. As you move south into the neighborhood, it transitions into primarily single family.
Yeah.
So
it is a large development.
It
and
is.
They're moving a lot of dirt up there.
Yeah.
So there's action
there's,
already.
There's
up
a lot
there,
of activity
so.
Over there.
The commission did approve the zoning change last night.
That's right.
So that moves forward. Another project that's moving forward and got approval was a Renaissance Zone project, mm-hmm. Kind of an infill project that's very interesting in the area of be south of Front mm-hmm. and west of 3rd Street.
Correct.
A little southeast area or southwest area of
right.
town.
Yeah, so there's some existing homes and a small retail business there. Those will be removed, demolished, to make room for this new apartment complex. And if I remember right, it was 56 units of a mix of efficiency, single and two bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of unique feature with this is that a lot of the parking for the apartment is actually contained within the building. Ground floor parking, and the building would be designed around the parking, so it doesn't look like a parking garage so much on the first floor, but it would be for the tenants right. to park there. This was a Renaissance Zone project, so the request last night was for a 5-year property tax exemption on the value of the improvements, and then also a 5-year state business income tax exemption as well.
Right.
So the commission approved the project unanimously, and now the next step will be it will go to the Department of Commerce at the state level for their review. And assuming all goes well at that point, the only thing left is to go through the site plan review and the building plan review to make sure that the site works, the fit is right, the construction is there.
Yeah.
And then it's quite likely we will see some activity on the property.
It's a big structure.
This summer.
We've got a picture of that. Thank you. It's a big unit. We've got some different perspectives here from different angles.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some deck areas. Look really nice. Like you say, off-street main level parking. Mm-hmm. And then there's also, I think, a flat surface somewhere too.
Right. And there, my understanding is there will be some amenities built into this apartment that you would find in more common new construction. Mm-hmm. So recognizing that this is in an area where people could quite easily have a car, but not necessarily need their car every day. There's a lot of businesses in this area. There's restaurants, there's shopping. It's close enough to the mall where someone could walk. So it's an interesting feature because it's a new apartment building in and around the downtown area, and that's something we really haven't seen.
56 units. That's a fairly large
It's a big impact.
Structure, too, yeah. Mm-hmm. Close to the ballpark over there, too, on the west, and the zoo. It's mm-hmm. all very good. Yeah, like you say, it has a walkable score.
The walk score is really nice. It's a great location. I'm anxious mm-hmm. to see this one come together. I think it's an opportunity for some new housing in an area of town that we really haven't seen it for quite a while.
And I don't think we've talked about what the title is. It's called the First Street Lofts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if people are interested, I believe these are market rates too.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Full market value for all the rentals. So you'll be looking at occupancy sometime next year.
Yeah.
So we wish them all the best of luck as they move forward.
And you say some demo work might be starting already, but for building, they have to wait for state approval on the project and whatnot.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. In talking with the owner last night before the meeting, he indicated that they would like to get everything in the ground this year so they can do construction through the winter.
Yeah.
So
all right. Well, we'll be watching
look for some
that.
Changes in the neighborhood.
Yeah, I bet. Another change being brought forth by your community development department in Ben Arith, and that is to take a little deeper look at your off-street parking requirements, mm-hmm. because as we see that here, we see a lot of the Board of Adjustment meetings and planning and zoning where variances are requested for off-street parking requirements. Mm-hmm. They seem to be very frequent.
Yeah.
So the logical step is, let's take a look at this ordinance.
Right.
Is it really up to date? Is mm-hmm. it really satisfying what we need in this
right.
community?
Yeah, I think Ben had some numbers that over the past few years, more than 20 parking variances or parking requests for variance have come through. Hmm. And that's a good harbinger of potential change. You know, if the ordinance is not responsive to some of the changes in the community, then we need to take a look at the rules.
Sure.
And I think it's a fair statement to say that we consume products differently than we did 30 years ago. And I think Ben had mentioned the last time there was a comprehensive look at the parking ordinance, it was back in the 80s. So we've heard through some development recently, even franchise businesses coming to us and saying, you know, as a fast food vendor, a lot of our product is going out the window, the drive-through window, not necessarily people coming in and mm-hmm. sitting down and eating the way they used to. Mm-hmm. So do we really need the amount of parking we've had in the past? The answer is, well, probably not in every situation.
Right. So, well, even looking, as you mentioned, retail too, the configuration inside some of our big box retailers has mm-hmm. changed. You see Walmart, a big area for pickup, mm-hmm. Drop off. You see people in their aisles doing
shopping for the customer,
mm-hmm. and those are being delivered. So
right.
the requirements for parking on site, I would assume, would be impacted mm-hmm. as well. So
yeah.
community development is going to take a deeper look on this and see
right.
what the trends are, see what our requirements are, and make any mm-hmm. suggestions for changes. It'll come back to the commission.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Public hearing, lots of input. There have been some changes that have been made, you know, since 1982 when it was last done. And I think one of the most apparent changes for people is to look at the parking lot, particularly on the south and west side of Kirkwood Mall.
Mm-hmm.
For years, it was a vast area of asphalt and
yeah.
primarily underutilized. Now you see on one corner there's Panera Bread, on another corner you've got Lucky's 13, and on the other corner you've got the Verizon and Caribou store. So
sure.
what happened there is that the city took a look at the parking regulations and realized, you know, there's probably too many required spaces. Changed the ordinance, relaxed a little bit, and suddenly we have three new buildings that were not there before.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a more efficient use of land.
Mm-hmm.
It's better for the city in regards for tax collection. We didn't have to build any new roads or any new water lines or anything like that. So it, in many ways, it's either redevelopment or infill. And I think looking at the parking regulations going forward, will open the door for more of those discussions and opportunities going into the future.
Yeah, we'll look for that report to come back. When do you have any kind of timeline?
I would give them several months to start collecting data and talking to the right people, because we've got to talk to business owners. I think there's a very valuable voice in the commercial realtors that are in our community, because they're seeing the trends. So there's a lot of people that have information for us to learn from, and from there we'll start making some good decisions and recommendations going forward.
All right, well, we will be talking about it.
Definitely.
Again. So we're off the agenda. Getting into another issue, we just want to follow up, and that is the liquor license discussion. Mm-hmm. This change, some modifications have been made to the Class D and E,
right.
I believe.
Yep, those are the ones.
And you have some available for purchase right now that you're taking bids on.
We do. So what changed is about a month ago, I believe it was, we switched the ordinance language that said official census data, and really what that did is it looked at the maximum number of Class D licenses and the Class E licenses. So the D license, for anybody that's not familiar with it, the D licenses are held by either a bar or an off-sale liquor store. You can do either or both with the D license. And the E license is for the bars that just serve beer and the convenience stores and other retailers that have off-sale beer. So those licenses are capped based on population. What changed is it used to say official census data, which means we could only offer new licenses every 10 years. Mm-hmm. The ordinance changed to say estimated census data. And we've estimated that we're well over 72,000 people in this community. So we know that there is at least enough room for one or potentially as many as five licenses that could be available.
But you'll wait for the 2020 census.
Yeah, we're
going
to wait for the 2020 census to do that. We're certainly not jumping into five new licenses right away.
Sure.
The plan is to have one license for the Class D and one license for the Class E. Those are available right now, and it's a sealed bid. Bids are due this Friday.
Okay.
And bids will be opened, and the highest bid gets the new license. So.
And if people need more information on this, assuming that those that are looking are probably
those
in the
that
know,
are,
but
yes,
if anybody else needs the information, they can talk to you.
They can contact city administration at 355-1300 or the city attorney's office. You can call 355-1300 and we'll transfer you over there as well. But cooperatively between the attorney's office and administration, we're handling this and anxious to see what the bids look like on Friday, because we know that there's businesses out there that are...
They're buzzing.
They're interested in getting their hands on the license.
Interesting. Sounds good. Well, we just wanted to mention that. The only other thing I can think of to talk about is July 4th is next week. So
it's coming up.
Yeah. So we talked last week with Mandan Administrator Jim Neubauer. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Mandan has a lot of 4th of July traditions going mm-hmm. on over there, the parade and the rodeo and art and a bark. But Bismarck has another big 4th of July tradition with the symphony on the Capitol Mall.
You bet. That's
fireworks.
It's
so
a great experience.
Something for everybody.
It's a great time. It's a lot of fun. Hope the weather holds out. Mm-hmm. For anybody that's not sure, no fireworks in Bismarck. You cannot shoot fireworks. It's against the law in Bismarck. Fireworks are allowed in Burley County, out in the rural areas, and you can buy them in the rural areas, but don't buy them and bring them into city limits, please. Mm-hmm.
So. And don't wander around the county looking for someone's yard to blow them off.
No. And for those that do, of course, please be courteous. Pick up your,
absolutely.
Your leftovers, because it does have a tendency to create a little garbage.
Yeah. But the symphony event also has a fabulous fireworks show.
Yep, they
too,
do a great job.
Finale. So, mm-hmm. yeah, you can partake of that.
Yep. If someone that's listening or watching hasn't been to the Capitol for that experience, I would encourage them to go.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It is a wonderful opportunity. If you want to hear the symphony, grab a spot down on the lawn in front mm-hmm. of the Capitol on the south side. If you want to see the entire fireworks show, there's some other places around the community where you can watch that.
It's a lot of room.
Yeah, it's a great experience.
So, yeah, lots to do, something for everybody.
You bet.
Thanks, Jason.
My pleasure. Thanks,
All
Mary.
Right. And thank you for tuning in to this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, visit bismarcknd.gov or call 701-355-1300. If you have suggestions, comments, or issues you would like addressed in future episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access, Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on Radio Access 102.5 FM. It's also available as a podcast on radioaccess.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.